Today we are going to focus on education and in particular the support that students with disabilities can get from the DSA or Disabled Students Allowance. Now, it's there to provide financial support for help and assistance through your studies, but does it all work positively? Well, recently there was a gathering at the University of Birmingham. Thomas Pocklington Trust were involved, and it was to look at the DSA, how it all works, and can it be improved. To tell us more, we have with us from Pocklington, Tara Chataway.
Thank you.
So tell me first of all then, a little bit about the allowance itself. What does it help with, and how do students apply for it?
Okay, so Disabled Students Allowance, or DSA, is an incredibly important grant that supports students with the additional costs of studying. So, for example, it helps meet with the cost of equipment, so specialist equipment, which is particularly important for students with vision impairment. It also helps to meet the costs of something called non-medical help, so that could be a support worker at university. It also meets the costs of habilitation training, so mobility training, how to get around the university, and also with costs of travel. And for many students with a disability, it's vital in allowing them and supporting them to thrive and achieve at university.
That sounds hugely important. What about the application process for it? Is that straightforward?
The application process It's fairly straightforward. There's a form you have to fill in and there's a process you have to go through. So you have to have a disability, and that disability has to have an impact on your learning. And then what will happen is that you will have an assessment at one of the many assessment centres across the country. Then you will be asked a number of questions about your needs. Then the assessor will make an assessment and recommendations for the support that you need and that you require.
Okay, now I'm guessing that it sounds great so far with what it can provide, but as I'm guessing that perhaps the experiences of applying for and using DSA haven't been as popular as they should be, or as good as they should be?
Well, so Thomas Pocklington Trust has been looking into the issue around Disabled Students Allowance for the last 12 months now, and we've been engaging with the Department for Education and with the Minister of Responsibility for Universities. And what we have found through speaking to students and also based on a comprehensive piece of research conducted by the University of Birmingham, a longitudinal study that's followed the experience of students with vision impairment, is that Disabled Students Allowance isn't always working for students with vision impairment the way that it should, and it's not working in a number of ways. Firstly, the assessment sometimes goes a bit wrong because the person carrying out the assessment doesn't understand the needs of the student with vision impairment. And then once they do have an assessment in place and they have their recommendations, one of the big issues is that students with vision impairment just aren't receiving the equipment that they need. It's not of a good enough specification. They're having to spend additional money, and quite substantial additional money. We're talking about thousands of pounds to purchase the equipment that DSA should be providing. And then the other issue is around non-medical help, is that quite often they start university and then they're told by the provider that they can't receive the support that they need. So they start university quite often without the equipment that they need and without the non-medical support. And as you can imagine, when you start university, it's quite a nervous, exciting time. And then without that support, students are then put on the back foot and sometimes are having to repeat years, carry out exams at a later date. And unfortunately for some students, ultimately, they're having to drop out of university, which just really is not acceptable.
So on top of this research, you had an event at the university. So who attended and what were the discussions like?
Yeah, well, we are absolutely delighted that the Minister, Chris Skidmore, one of his number one priorities as the Minister with Responsibility for Universities is to ensure that universities are accessible for students with a disability, including vision impairment. So the Minister attended an hour event that was attended by 13 students with vision impairment. And it was a really, really positive event where the Minister and his team were able to hear firsthand from students about their experiences of universities and the impact of when support isn't there, the impact that it has for them. And unfortunately, some of those students had actually dropped out of university or had to resit exams and had taken a lot longer to complete their course.
Also joining us, we have with us Eddie Ayad, who is a student himself. Eddie, Tara was telling us the Disabled Students Allowance, in theory, should work extremely well. It's a vital piece of legislation and support for students with disabilities. What's your experience been, though, of applying for it?
So for me, when I was applying for it, the initial application and then getting my assessment was quite straightforward and smooth. And the same with that delivery of my equipment. It came well before I started university, but the issue was that during my assessment, I was recommended equipment and services that weren't really fitting my needs. But because they were in the interest of maybe some of the vendors and the suppliers of that equipment, they were kind of advised over some of the stuff that I would have benefited from. So for instance, I'm an avid Mac user. I find that their speech software and their magnification software just works how I like to study and how I like to operate. But they said, we don't have the budget or the funding to provide you a Mac, but we can provide you this laptop and we can give you some speakers and a different keyboard and this cane that vibrates and all this different equipment that was collectively more expensive but just wasn't what I needed. So I then had to supplement the equipment that they gave me with going out and buying some stuff to kind of fill in those gaps.
That sounds unbelievable, the fact that, first of all, you didn't get the equipment which the assessor should have suggested for you, and the equipment you did receive was actually more expensive than the correct equipment that they should have sent you. That's a bit baffling, and if you're starting your studies or mid-studies, that must be quite worrying when straight away you're not getting what you need.
Yeah, so I remember vividly the laptop that they gave me. So if I'm using a Windows PC, I use Supernova. It's quite a taxing program. And every time I'd open my laptop in a lecture to take notes or to interact with an activity, I could just hear the fan just going crazy and overheating. So that was kind of the tipping point 2 months in to say, I'm going to have to buy my own laptop because this can't be the way that I'm working and operating at uni, which was a devastating start, really.
Do you have to reapply each year for DSA, or is there ongoing support through your study?
I just applied for it the once for the duration of my course. But then as my course progressed, I was interacting with DSA for the human support less and less. So I applied for mobility and for a note taker. Firstly, it took a few months for them to start taking my notes and when I started university. But then secondly, it took a lot of my own time to kind of coordinate my note takers. So I had 4 or 5 different ones, which all had different styles of making notes. And they would contact me to find out where the room is, if there's any timetable changes, if they got lost on campus, so on and so forth, which I thought that it would be the agencies or liaising with the university to kind of sort that out, because it takes up a lot of your time that you could be using to study.
Time, and think about the pressure, the extra pressure that puts on you as well. It's such a crucial stage of your education. That's really something you don't need. So with this event taking place at the university, was that something you felt quite positive about? You felt perhaps there could be some improvements here?
Yeah, the event itself at the university was spot on, because we had a really diverse group of young visually impaired students and ex-students that were able to share some really unique and important experiences. And I feel like we got a lot of the main points and the main concerns over to Chris Skidmore, the minister, and it felt like he really was taking it on. So I'm hopeful that moving forward there'll be some positive change.
Tara, that's really worrying, that the experience Eddie had was pretty terrible, to be honest, at the start, and going through those extra pressures as well. But important as well that Chris Skidmore actually got to speak to the people at the sharp end.
Yeah, we were delighted that he is engaging with students with vision impairment, because really that's the only way that you really understand the impact of policy decisions is by talking to those that are experiencing it. So the next steps will be for Thomas Pocklington Trust to work with the students that attended the event, with the University of Birmingham, with the Minister's Office and with DfE, the Department for Education, to look for some of the improvements that are needed for disabled students' allowance. And as Eddie said, we share his hope as well that the right changes can be made.
With these kind of things, though, Tara, they tend not to happen quickly. In the interim, though, is there something that people can do who are perhaps about to enter this process? Is there ways they can be made aware of things they can do to perhaps get over some of these barriers?
It's really important that people do apply for Disabled Students Allowance, because we have heard positive experience of where it works. It really helps the student. So we would absolutely encourage people to apply, and also to contact their university, because their university will have a disability students team. So have a chat with them, perhaps get a tour of the university before they start, find out what support the university can put in place, ask them for their support through the DSA application. So there's a number of things that the student can do to help make their outcome better. And then in the meantime, we'll be working and pushing hard with government to make the improvements that are needed.
Eddie, some good advice from Tara there. You know, before you start your course, contact the university. Do you think that would help and has helped yourself?
Yeah, advocate that 100%. I definitely see what a support the university can give you and your specific school. So for instance, for me, facilitating mobility through DSA was taking a long time, and for myself, I needed mobility before I started. So I managed to get in contact with some people at the university who managed to provide the funding in the interim for the mobility officer. And then when the money came through DSA later on, then they were reimbursed. So getting in contact with the university directly is always worthwhile.
Tara, we're almost out of time, but if people would like to learn more about Thomas Pocklington Trust and the work you do, and perhaps get some more help and advice around this particular element, what's the best way to do that?
So we would be delighted to hear from students about their experiences of Disabled Students Allowance as well. So we encourage people to contact us. So you can find out about our work by visiting our website, which is pocklington-trust.org.uk. /CYP will take you directly to the page about DSA. Alternatively, please do email us at policy@pocklington-trust.org.uk.
And we certainly hope there'll be a quick resolution and a successful resolution to the problems with DSA at the moment. To Eddie, best of luck with the studies. And to Tara, thanks to you as well for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.